because there's always more to the story. The new Washington Post Radio, 1500 AM and 107.7 FM, and reaching the world on WashingtonPostRadio.com.
Good morning. I'm Hillary Howard. Coming up, our home guru, Yura Conscious, joins us with the top two resolutions for the new year, the biggest of which, instead of losing weight, is cleaning your house. Also, the latest remembrances on President Gerald Ford from the Associated Press. It is 11:31. Welcome back to, well, you know where you are, don't you? The new Washington Post Radio, 1500 AM, 107.7 FM. I'm Hillary Howard, joined by, dun-da-da-dun, Yura Conscious. Hello, Yura.
Hello, how are you?
I am well, and how are you?
I'm fine, and, you know, like everybody else, I'm thinking about what a mess my house is after the holidays. Piles, shopping bags full of stuff, new items everywhere.
And that's why you have a special guest with
you. And that's why I have a special guest, because January is Get Organized Month.
And there according
to the National Society of Professional Organizers.
Ah!
And there are 4,000 of those in this country. And I call professional organizers the personal trainers of the 21st century, which I think is terrific.
Because everybody works, and, you know, dad works, mom works, the kids are in school all day, and the house just becomes a repository of garbage.
Exactly. And so we have somebody here, Scott Rower, who has a company called Solutions by Scott here in the Washington area.
And I like that.
Scott was a public school music educator.
Huh.
For 7 years, and he has all kinds of degrees, but he was always an amazingly organized person, and so that is his job today, helping people organize their home. So here's Scott.
Scott Rower, you have a gene that apparently I'm missing. That's the organization gene.
I happen to grow up in a very organized home, and it's something that I did carry into my adult life. So it is a gene, but it is also something you can learn to do, even if you're disorganized now.
Well, that's
really
good news.
So where do you start?
Well, you have to decide why you want to get organized. You have to realize what part about your life is disorganized and recognize, gosh, I really could use some of the benefits of being organized. If you choose to do it the self-help way, there are tons of books, websites, television shows that can inspire you and give you ideas. However, professional organizers can come into your home, work with you side by side, help you answer all those hard questions, make the decisions on what to do with the clutter, and then how to organize it once you have sorted through and purged, and where do you put it in your home?
This has the makings of a really good reality TV show.
And
I can see now the tears. No, I just don't know where to put it.
And there are shows like that. There's Clean Sweep and Mission Organization. There are all kinds of shows. People sit in their homes and they watch other people throw things away. I mean, it's amazing what our culture is like these days.
It really is.
You know, Scott told me he was organizing a home yesterday, the day after Christmas. He was hired by a family to help them. Scott, tell us what they called you in for.
This family has 3 children. They were never expecting to have 3 children, and they have outgrown their home on Capitol Hill. So they're getting ready to put it on the market, and in order to prepare to do that, they want to downsize, get rid of some of the children's toys that have always, you know, been broken and shoved underneath the bed, clear out the closets, and generally make the house more spacious and feel like someone else could live in their home. So I'm helping them stage it by getting organized.
So how do you do that? How do you physically do that when you get to somebody's house?
Well, depending on the person and what their need is, if it's staging, for example, this particular home on Capitol Hill, we started in one particular room. She described how she would like the room to appear to somebody else. Now, she described it as a particular store catalog, which might be a little unreasonable expectations. But we went through, started in one side of the room, and started sorting and deciding, yes, this is something I want to keep, it's something I use and can use in the future, or whether it's something else I can repurpose in another area of the home or give to someone else so they can use it. And we just sort, then we purge, and then we decide where things are going to go once we've
downsized. It sounds so easy, doesn't it?
Do any of these things go in storage, or is that an evil word?
You know, I don't believe in storing things off-site, because if you're going to put it away,
yes,
by the time you have paid for storage for 12 months, you could have bought that same item over and over and over again. So I don't believe in off-site storage.
Now, it's true, but in our household, for example, in our massive storage locker, one of those big orange
you
places.
You don't have one, Hillary.
It's filled to the gills.
That is a horrible confession.
Well, you know, there you have it. We have my husband's old saddle from his horse that he just can't part with. All of his, you know, old, like, awards from when he was a firefighter and ambulance worker and, you know, all of my old tapes from TV day, all of these things.
And you're paying to store this
stuff?
I
mean, I know, it's a horrible, horrible thing.
You need help.
You do need help, Scott.
When you tuck away those collections, you're not giving them the honor that they need. For example, the saddle, it's something he's proud of. Bring it into your home and give it a place where it can be honored and respected.
That's not a bad idea for the saddle.
And they're beautiful items.
But then we have all of these, like awards from work, and I find it kind of humiliating to put them out in the home.
Well, do you think that he really needs to keep all of them? Couldn't he select a few, perhaps?
No, not just his and mine over the years of just working in our business. You know, it's like, what do you do with all these things?
Well, you can have a brag wall. Really, some people have a few, and it's
lots
fine.
Lots of people in D.C. have brag walls.
I hate them.
Make a scrapbook. Mm-hmm. Make a scrapbook. Or put out all the items and take a digital picture of them and keep the picture so you remember all the different things you've collected over the years.
That's not bad.
Your tapes that you mentioned, have them transferred to DVD or to an audio CD. That way you can keep them and you have them, and they're also, the quality is going to last over the years.
That's a very good idea.
You know, I had that problem with my kids' trophies. You know how they give a kid a trophy just for showing up for a sport? I'm sure, Scott, you've seen millions
lots of trophies.
Of five cheap $5 trophies that have a little marble base. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Well, and my son, you know, he says, Mom, I really don't care about these. You can get rid of them. And so what I did is I put them all in a mass in his room. I took a huge picture of them.
Perfect.
And then I gave them to the Salvation Army because sometimes they reuse them for other kids. And I thought, this is really a good thing.
We've got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how hard it is for people to pare down their lives. And I imagine it's kind of emotional sometimes, Scott.
Definitely.
You're listening to the New Washington Post Radio, 1500 AM, 107.7 FM. I'm Hillary Howard with Your Conscious. It's 1138. Welcome back to the New Washington Post Radio, 1500 AM, 107.7 FM. I'm Hillary Howard here with Your Conscious and organizer extraordinaire, Scott Rohwer. And, you know, if you're sitting in your home right now looking at something on your shelf, you need to think, do I really need it? Do I really want it there, or shall I trash it?
Well, there's other things to do besides trashing the items.
Okay.
You know, a professional organizer is not going to come into your home and say, throw everything away. Your life is going to be better.
That's good.
We want you to have things, use them. Is there a purpose for them? Are they making your life better? Is it going to save you money and time in the future?
But how hard is it for people to make those decisions?
It's often very challenging for someone to make those decisions, often when you're bringing two couples together who are combining households. That's one of the main things where you get your first little butt in your marriage. Also, when a senior moves from their home and they downsize into a new space, they've lived that way consistently and are used to that environment, so that psychology of clutter and downsizing can be a big challenge.
And, I mean, do you encounter tears?
Definitely. Tears of joy.
Yes.
I remember one of my first people I worked with several years ago, she burst into the tears at the doorway and gave me a hug, and she said, we did more today than I've done the last 3 years in my life.
Well, and I want to tell you a great statistic that's on the NAPO website, which is NAPO.net, right, Scott?
Correct.
Which actually has some good tips on it.
You National check Association it of Professional Organizers.
Right.net. IKEA did a survey of customers in which 31% reported that they were more satisfied after clearing out their closets than they were after sex.
Not really. That's got to be good.
That's pretty astounding. But, you know, how many of us have coat closets that when we, you know, you open the door, things fall out of them? Are you constantly jamming the coats in so the door will close? I am.
It's so true. But there's something to that, because ultimately, if you're living in a messy place, it you know, permeates every sense of your existence outside of the home. You feel like your life is cluttered, and you feel
and
like
out of
you
control.
Can't get, and out of control.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Scott, what is the difference between clutter and a collection?
Well, a collection is something you're going to honor, and you display it, and that there's meaning to it. Clutter is things that are laying around on the nightstand, or they've collected their way onto the top of the mantle. They're not really a collection, but it's a mishmash of different things. So a collection you're going to display and be proud of. We're not often proud of our
We're
clutter.
Not proud of it. Yeah. You know, Scott has done some very unusual organizing jobs, including like organizing people's little black books and things like that. Scott, tell us about some of those unusual things you've done for people.
We often do technology things as well for our clients, not just their closets or their basements. So the Black Book was an interesting project, lots of famous people's information and such. But without giving away anyone's confidential information, a lot of women are interested in hearing the story of the closet that was designed to hold over 250 pairs of designer shoes. You know, it's a dream for so many people. But the shoes didn't have a home, so we created one.
Fabulous.
Or someone's...
Were they all current?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, what do I know about current shoe fashion? But what I see on television, yes, they look current to me.
That must have been fun.
It was a very exciting project. She was proud to... It's a collection for her, but it's also something she uses and she invested in. So we wanted to make sure that we took care of them.
I am so not that kind of woman.
And what is like the messiest room in the house? What's the most frequent room that you get questions about?
Well, it really varies on a person's, you know, the psychology of their clutter. For example, it might be the basement. The basement is the place where all the boxes went when you moved into the house and you've lived there for 20 years. And now you're downsizing and you have to go through those items because there's always something important in those boxes that you do need, you just have forgotten about.
Right.
Kitchen cabinets, the dreaded Tupperware containers.
Oh, yes.
That when you open the cabinet, they fall out. Or all
and the tops are missing.
The tops are missing, or the plastic bags. You know, you get them every time you go to the grocery store and you keep them because you should, of course. So, you know, the collection grows.
That's painful. Those are really painful things. And you, it's easy to go through them and get rid of them, right? That's the easy stuff.
But you have to make time to do that. That's the thing. We're all so busy. Like, who wants to spend our time organizing? You know, you want to be out doing things. But
right.
I think you have to say, even if you do one thing a day, the thing that works for me is like on January 1st, I start and I do one drawer or one shelf every morning before I leave the house.
It's just so appropriate that we're discussing this today because I was telling you guys earlier that we're actually going through this in my home because my husband inspired me forcefully that this needed to be done. So we are actually doing the whole kitchen this week.
Right. Now, how many spatulas do you need?
I have three. That's not too bad.
How many cooks do you have in your home?
Me.
How many spatulas do you use usually when you're preparing a meal?
And is one of them grungy looking?
No, they're actually not too bad, but sometimes I need two spatulas to turn my pancakes because I'm not good at it.
Well, maybe one could be gotten rid of.
So, Scott, what other advice do you have for people?
One thing that people need to think about when they're getting organized and bringing that calm and control into their life, that it's not a temporary state. It's not something you can do during January as a resolution, and then it's going to apply forever. It is a lifestyle change. And when you bring it into your life, if you do it consistently and you change some of your bad habits or you get out of your normal routine, those long sessions of organizing your kitchen or going through the boxes of paper aren't going to happen. So you're going to have more time for your family, more time to get things done. You're going to save money because you're not paying bills late. There's no late credit card fees. You're not over shopping because you forgot that you had the cleaning supplies already.
Oh my gosh, you so describe me.
You're going to be more on time as well because you're not late looking for those keys or helping your child find the backpack. So it's a lifestyle change, but it's one to embrace.
Yura, when I look at Scott, there's a clarity in his eyes that's so enviable. It's like, you know, you have this beautiful, I'm so happy because I'm organized.
Right. And you can see he has this like radar where he could go into your house and immediately like just find the messiest area.
So if people want to learn more about this, they want to do it, what should they do?
Well, first of all, I wanted to ask, what do people charge to get an organizer per hour? I know it's a range. What sort of a range of prices?
Well, it's going to vary whether you're doing your home or whether you're in a corporate environment,
right,
as well as the geography where you particularly live,
mm-hmm,
and also the ability and skill level of the organizer. So depending on if you're working with someone brand new to the profession.
How much do you charge?
How much do I charge? I charge by the hour instead of by the project fee, because everybody's needs are different, and my charge is $85 an hour.
And so some people might charge a little more or a little less.
Correct.
And they can go to www.napo.net, and there's like a referral program, right?
For napo.net, you can search by specialty field, by zip code, and the type of organizer you're looking for. But you can also do that right here in Washington. Find an organizer locally who is a member of the local chapter of NAPO.
How do you do that?
By going to dcorganizers.org.
DCorganizers.org.
You're a conscious. Scott Rower, thanks for being here, guys. And happy organizing to all of you who take it on.
Hillary, get rid of that story.
I'm going to try. I'll work on Dave later.
Good luck.
It's 11:48. Adrienne Higgins up next.